Something a little different this morning. I want to talk to you briefly about our history and our future. I think it's interesting how God puts things together. Didn't know when God laid these verses on my mind that it would be the Sunday that Tara would be here and share her testimony and what the emphasis would be in the service, maybe. Didn't know who all would be here, obviously. Actually have about a 12-minute video that I'm going to show. And amateur video, I took it. Our media guy is great at video. I'm amateur, so take that consideration. Following that, I just want to say a few things. Won't keep you late today, but do have some very important things. Think this is a real significant Sunday. So please be real attentive.
Things that represent. I want to welcome you to the service this morning and to our video, and just going to take some amateur video clips of some things that represent neat experiences. This, as many of you know, is the old Skinner Chapel from years and years ago. While we were ministering there, God just incredibly blessed that, and we're so grateful for that, so grateful for a small group of about 16 individuals that were part of that church that had enough vision and enough foresight to see that God wanted to do some things and see some people reached. And so as that building filled up, we were able to move to a new location and then turn that building into what we called the Annex. And currently that building's kind of being semi-restored to be a landmark in our community. But it is a building. And it's made of wood and stone, and it represents a place where people met that were sincere and truly loved the Lord, and I'm thankful for the roots there. My father pastored there, and a group of faithful folks who were very close to him ministered there with him, and then I had the awesome opportunity of coming from Chicago, where we had been ministering for 2 years on the streets, and taking that particular location. I'm grateful for that time. Now we're going to shift to a happening that took place about a year and a half, between a year and a half and 2 years from starting there at the old Skinner Chapel, and talk to you about this journey that God has taken us on, and what a neat and adventurous journey it's been. Many of you will recognize this picture. It's a nice picture in a snowstorm, actually, of Skinner Chapel. Just taken recently. This is a place where we assembled and worshiped for a long time. 15 years actually for myself, 13 years there as senior pastor. We started 15 years ago in the little church on south of here, now known as the Annex, or soon to be kind of a landmark church in the community. In the prime of this ministry, we've seen 350 people or so attending a morning service and seeking God at the altar time, and reaching out to others around them, and we're grateful that God would trust us at this particular location to reach out. And we're indebted to people who were the original founders and who worked hard to keep the church open years ago when there weren't too many to attend. I want to say something about this. First of all, I'd like to say that the emphasis here has been the cross. And it's no mistake that there's a cross on the front of the building. It's no mistake that both inside and out, there's a cross. Because it's about what Jesus did for us, his sacrifice on that cross. It's not about a building. We appreciate our buildings, and we've been blessed with some nice ones. But we're extremely grateful for what God did here. And I want to say a few things about some things that took place here at this particular location. So very grateful for that. 8 years ago, I came to this building and was bleeding between my teeth and out my nose, and the capillaries had burst in my legs, and had been diagnosed, as most of you know, with acute myeloid leukemia. And it was in this building, at an altar, where I was prayed for. And we're going to take a minute and go inside and look at that particular spot for a moment.
Hey, we're inside Skinner Chapel here. And
this actually is a unique spot for me, physically speaking. I did, as I expressed earlier, have something very unusual happen at this particular location. Sitting in a folding chair here by the altar at the Skinner Chapel building is where a group assembled, 25 or 30. If I went through the names, I probably could remember each individual. I'm sure I could, that was there. People who were very close to me, who prayed and anointed me and asked God three requests for me, three requests that were critically important to me. First of all, I wanted to not drop the ball in this whole AML experience, acute myeloid leukemia, near-death experience, and I had been around cancer patients a lot in my life, and had seen a lot of people that when the pressure was on, didn't do very well, and wanted to be faithful to the Lord in the midst of a difficult thing. So my first request was is that I would be faithful to the Lord and be kind and be gracious and through it be an example of Christ. Second is that he would take my fear away. I had been with enough cancer patients. I knew some of the directions this could go. And I wanted help with the fear in dealing with that. And then third, if God was so pleased, would be to touch me physically, for by his stripes we are healed. And I'd like to say to you today as a testimony of God's grace and goodness and the prayers of the people that were assembled here that particular day and the following Wednesday when there was a special service of prayer. I feel unworthy of all that attention, all that the people did, but as they went to God and sought him on my behalf, God fulfilled 2 Kings 20, which he had revealed to me in a unique way. I will heal you and add 15 years to your life. So this is a very special spot. But you know what? As I look around this building, this is just a geographical spot. This building itself is wood, stone, metal, glass, plaster, and that doesn't make it sacred or special. It's because God was here. And I want to say something about that, because following that leukemia experience where God miraculously healed me, we had a visitation from God in this church like I've not seen in the years I've been in ministry. Services where the building was full and people were coming forward, sometimes 20, 25 people at a time coming to the altar. Unusual sense of God's presence. I don't know of a time I ever felt more anointed in preaching than during that time. It was a visitation from God, not about us, but a time when God chose to visit us. And I believe that that was a result of a unity that the praying for their pastor brought, a unity. And I believe also a level of surrender. One man said it well. He said, "I don't think Tom just had leukemia. I think the whole congregation did." And it was a new level of surrender in people's lives. And when surrender and unity take place, God moves. It isn't about the last name of the pastor. It isn't about whether he's a great speaker or a moderate speaker or a poor speaker, or whether he has charisma and on all those things can be that are promoted today. But that's not what it is. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I believe we had a visitation here during that time that was unusual. I also believe that as we moved in the future, God gave us vision. I believe some were more in tune with that than others, and let that be as it may. But I do believe God directed us to make a critical move. And that entered us into somewhat of a painful time, somewhat of a difficult time. During that time, I made one of the hardest decisions of my life, and that was to step down here as senior pastor. And my son came in and took the church, and I'm grateful for that privilege and that opportunity. There were some bumps in the road, but I'm so grateful that the experience that was gained through that time, and it enabled me to take a year off, go away to Colorado for almost a month, and then to give the rest of the 11 months to as much prayer and fasting as I could and was able to do, physically able to do. During that time, God spoke to me that he was going to open a new season for us. And there were some bumpy times. There were some growing pains. There was some pruning. Hey, did you know that all three of those things are in Scripture? Yes. Some difficulties, some hardships, some tribulation, some pain, some pruning. Did you know that that's all in Scripture? But out of that came some neat things, and Kevin has felt a call with his wife and beautiful family to go to Haiti and minister, where my father, ministered for 23 years, and his grandmother. And we moved to a new location, a location that we had visited while attending and serving here. A location that we had felt stirred about 2 years before. And hey, we're going to go over and pick up there at that location and say some more about what God did and is doing.
Okay, we're at our new location over on US 31, about 3.5 miles away from Skinner Chapel. And it's just awesome how God worked out the details of this move. And we are just delighted to be placed on a US highway. That's the kind of the jugular vein of Indiana, connects Indianapolis and South Bend and indirectly Chicago as well. Most people going north and south to any of those big areas are traveling this road. And so I feel like in these days of the return of Christ and in these last difficult days that God has placed us geographically at a neat location where we can reach people for Christ. You'll notice it says outreach on the end of the building. And that's because that's exactly what this is. It's to reach out to troubled people in our community. And God has also given us a unique privilege in the last few months of adopting a foreign outreach in Haiti, as I referred to earlier, where my son is going as a missionary. And what a privilege it is to be able to oversee with this group 58 churches, and really a mega church in Haiti of nearly 10,000 attendees. We are on a busy road, pardon the traffic, a noise of traffic behind me, but everybody that goes by here sees Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 on the end of the building, and that's very unique and special because that, of course, is the prophecy of the Messiah that says, I've come, I'm anointed, and I've come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring freedom to the prisoners, and that's what this ministry is about. And I want to spend the next few minutes in a little warmer location inside and actually talk to you about a recent scripture God gave me in regard to this ministry.
December 1st, Sunday, some of you will remember, I had a migraine that I get from time to time. And migraines play a part, believe it or not, in the ministry. They can seem like a nuisance and disruptive, but it seems like every time I get a migraine and I have to be in bed 8, 12, sometimes as much as 20 hours, it does something to me in quieting my heart, and I've almost gotten to the point where when that happens, I say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? And God works with us all in unique ways. He seems to use that particular happening in my life for good, as he promises to do in Romans 8:28. And December 1st, just 3 weeks ago, God spoke to me very clearly, and I wanted to give our history and now tie on to that in this journey that we're on, and I believe it is a journey that God has ordered, even though at times it's not been clear. At times I've regrouped and thought, Lord, wait a minute. Did I get off track here? Did I take a wrong exit? You know, sometimes things don't always happen the way you anticipated. And it's easy to think, wow, I've taken the wrong exit ramp. Only to have God quiet me and assure my heart. I have a pad of verses I call my precious pad that I began in Colorado in 2011, the time off that you so graciously gave me. And that pad has grown as God has given me verses over and over and over to assure me the direction and to reset the compass. You're okay. When things was beginning to question in my own mind. And December 1st, God gave me a passage, and it's in Haggai. I'm sure you don't read there often. I don't either. And it's on the back of your bulletin. And I was going to have it on the wall and went off and forgot my iPad today. First time I've done that. But it is on the back of your bulletin. And I want you to have those verses. And I have them printed there. You'll notice at the top it says Haggai 1, and then it has 5, 6, 7 through 9, then chapter 2, 3 through 4b. It kind of looks like, wow, he's just got a whole bunch of segments of verses. What I did here is I was reading through and felt directed to this particular minor prophet's writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I started through reading that, and things just began jumping out at me.
And as they did, I underlined them. And I would go on and something else would jump out at me and I would underline it. And then another would jump out at me and I put those together here. And so actually what I have printed there on the back, that first paragraph, larger paragraph on the back there, is the order in which God gave me these verses. And I want to read them and just say a couple of things about that as God drew me to this after quieting my heart and missing a church service and being alone for a number of hours. Now, this is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted, but harvested little. Give careful thought to your ways. That's said twice. That wasn't my printing. It's said twice. Go to the mountains and bring down timber and build the Lord's house so that I may take pleasure and be honored. You expected much, but see, it's turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord God Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Be strong and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord God Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I'll grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. From this day on, I will bless you. I have then written, I've given this to church leaders already a couple of weeks ago to be praying over, and I want to give it to you as a congregation this morning. We're also going to have a CD and DVD available of this morning because I want everybody that attends here to be in tune with this. It's time to dig in and rebuild a strong ministry here. It's not just about us. Also, Pastor Cook, and I want to take a minute and say something about that. This building set for a long, long time. I brought the Skinner Chapel Church Board, and we knelt right there in the cold with junk and trash all over this building and leaks and things. We knelt here in the cold and prayed, and we felt 2 years before I ever stepped down at Skinner that there was something here. I had no idea how this would turn out, no agenda. Just had various people say to me, that they had felt the same way. I won't mention names, but I had various people, I think it would surprise you, throughout our congregation at that time that said, I just keep feeling a stirring. And some of them are now attending other churches, and that's fine. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. But we knelt here 2 years before I ever stepped down at Skinner Chapel and prayed and asked for God's direction. What I didn't know is some of the things that had happened here. This particular building, the ministry that was here before us, it had had kind of an unhappy ending. And I didn't know all of that at the time. But when we were putting in the second story last January, February, March, and April, and so many of you faithful guys and gals helped with that, and we put all the work in back here, and I was in here with my nail bag on working one day, and I was alone in a corner working, God spoke to me very clearly. And he said, this is about the ministry here, but it's also about the former ministry. And I looked into it only to find that Pastor Cook, who died with cancer, who started out in the old Stuckey's building, which is still attached out here, I found out what I could about him, and I learned that he was a very respected and godly man. But an unfortunate thing happened here. Various teachings of different kinds came in, and there began to be conflict and problems. Did you hear what I said on the video, that when there's surrender and unity, God visits? Don't glorify a building or a place. God can move in at Bethel, where Jacob prayed in the wrestling match. And he can do a marvelous thing, or he can do it out here when we're having an outside service in this field, or he can do it over in the annex of the old Skinner Chapel, or he can do it wherever he chooses to do that. When he chooses to do it, he'll do it his own way. And I found out just about the time we put him in a box and say the way it has to be, he'll do it a different way. Because he wants to be glorified, not us take the credit. My daddy used to lean across the pulpit, and he would thump the pulpit. I don't have a pulpit here to do that. But he would thump the pulpit and he would say, quit calling this a sacred desk. It isn't a sacred desk, it's a piece of wood. But sometimes when I speak here, God will move when my Bible and notes are laying there. But don't glorify the desk. Make sense? I got some roots with this teaching. My father had so much struggle with this. We have a tendency to attach things to a place or a geographical location, and that it hinders God really working. And you know, that's as old as the Bible. Did you know when the Mount of Transfiguration took place and Jesus glowed and Elijah and Moses stood beside him, what did the disciples say ignorantly, well-meaning but ignorantly? Oh, let's build some tabernacles here. let's freeze this spot in time. God wants us to know it's about him, and he can meet you anywhere. Now, there's sentiment. Why did I sit and struggle fighting back tears in that folding chair on the video? Because that was the geographical location where God touched me. And that following Wednesday when you had a service there, I believe that's the reason I'm alive today. So there is value to that. But what God wants us to see that in these last days as we approach the returning of Christ, it doesn't matter where we are. We just want to be where he places us at that point in time. What we want is his presence. Does that make sense? What we want is his visitation. And I feel like God spoke to me and said, it's time to dig in. We've been through some bumps and rough spots, but out of it has come some incredible training. I know that there's been some bumps. I'm not going to act like I got a sack over my head. I know there's been some difficult times. There's been some painful times for us as well for you. But there's some training and development that's come out of that that's equipped people in a way that they wouldn't be able to do the things they're going to do without that. And many of you have been part of that. Be kingdom-minded and recognize that God uses all the steps in a way. And sometimes it prunes. And did you know that pruning is cutting back? Did you know that when you get done pruning a grapevine, it looks like it's going to die? But if you prune it back far enough, it'll have better grapes than it ever had before. And there's seasons in the ministry when that happens. Business, too many times we have business ways of thinking and operating in the kingdom. This isn't a business. This is the kingdom. Sometimes Jesus had great crowds, and sometimes it pruned back, and it said, many walk no more with him. And he just looked around and said, are you going to leave me too? And there's times when God's doing things that we're missing. God spoke to me from Haggai and said, these scriptures, that the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. It's time to dig in and build a strong ministry here. It's not just about us. It's also about the prayers of good people. I believe Pastor Cook, that working back here, that totally blindsided me. I was working and I felt God spoke to me. I began to cry working in the back, standing there in my nail apron and jeans and working at the job God had given me to do. I began to cry as God spoke to me and said, there's more to it than you're seeing. There was some people who started here who really wanted to see something done in a move of God and God's spirit really to be active here on this main jugular vein highway of Indiana. And they had some vision, but some division and problems came in and that went a different direction. And so part of what you're doing is restoring some of that and answering those prayers. Does that make any sense? God's doing something bigger than we realize. I have here, there's something in these passages for all of us. I believe that. God spoke to me that Sunday I was home. Monday, actually, the next day is when he opened this to me, but he prepared my heart on Sunday. There's something in these passages I have here written for all of us. Pray and seek God. You know, maybe you see yourself in one verse and I see myself in another. Honestly, there's some things I read in these passages I think definitely I can see where they apply to me. I felt like God spoke to me strongly that, Tom, you've invested a lot. You know, in the foreign outreach, we invested a lot last year. And so far, it's been little return. But I'm going, don't lose faith. There's other things that speak to me in a different way. I believe there's something for us here in this passage where it says that why have you not so far? Because you've been busy with your own house. And I think there's something there for all of us. I think at times we can get all caught up in our own thing and what we want to see happen, and we're not about really reaching the folks. Like we heard the testimony this morning, we start losing that, and we've kind of got our own agenda, and we've got our own things we want to do. We're caught up with our own stuff, and maybe it's just plain materialism. Maybe we're just too caught up with our own homes and our own stuff that we don't give the time that God would ask of us. And maybe that's the big issue, that we're not willing to give the time that it needs, because needy people need time. I don't know what God will speak to you, but I believe there's something in these passages for all of us. I have here, pray and seek God and see what he says to you. I know what he's saying to me. I feel like I've planted much and harvested little so far. I'm grateful for all he has done. But God is telling me that he's going to fill this place with his glory, and the glory of the new will be greater than the old. But there's some things I must do. Give careful thought. It's got to be built so that he can take pleasure and be honored. Take careful thought. Give careful thought, it says. Then it says, I need to go to the mountain and bring down strong timber. I've been praying, Lord, I think I know what that means, but show me the full meaning of that. I have here, please be in prayer. I feel God has already given me some revelation on what this means for me. What does it mean to you? I've given a copy of this to our church leaders, and I've asked them to be in prayer about what is God saying to you about this. This is a year, quickly, and I won't keep you long. This is a year where I believe that we are to see the blossoming of the James vision. 5 years ago, has it been now? I'm horrible at remembering times. Went to New Mexico and had the Go Find James series following that. God has stirred that within me and said, now is the time. Now is the time. Did you know sometimes God will give you something and it's a few years, it's a few months. We're in this instant society. We're so used to things happening in 2 or 3 minutes. We expect that from God. God might have spoken to Abraham, and you'll go read and see that the fulfillment of that was 15 years later, when God's timing was right. And 5 years ago, I believe it's been now, we went to New Mexico, Pam and I, alone together on the motorcycle. And we were in Farmington, New Mexico, and we got a motel that was there by a river, and I didn't realize that. And the next morning, I got up and thought with delight, oh, I'm by a river. I love to walk by the river. And I took my walk, and lo and behold, there's a long path that goes down by the river there. And walking that morning, I encountered the Indian man, James, that was very intoxicated and was in as worse a condition. And I think once again, like God did on the streets of Chicago with the prostitutes and runaways and homeless people, God once again showed me the depravity and how far the devil can take people down. And as this man, I'll not go into it this morning because of time, but as he sat there on the picnic table, and I ended up talking with him and praying for him many times since, and he began pouring out his heart, and finally, out of frustration, after talking to him a long time, realizing we were getting nowhere, and he was very intoxicated, difficult to communicate with, as I began to walk away and thinking we're not getting anywhere, he kept saying, no one wants me, no one loves me, no one wants me, no one loves me. And he just kept saying that. And I didn't realize that day that that was about more than a man I was to pray for, because I certainly had prayed for him a lot over the years, but that was about an emphasis in our ministry. And I came back and gave that simple, there was nothing, well, I shouldn't say there wasn't profound. Truth is always profound when it's inspired. But I came back and gave that simple series, Go Find James. And many of you have often referred to, I found my James, and that's kind of picked up. And when you come across a James or a Jane who you realize are in deep need and in trouble, you'll make the statement, I found a James, and it's been funny to see how that's picked up. But what I realized is, you know, we tried to have a few services, and we did a service that I called Go Find James and ask you to bring visitors, and you did that. But what I realized is I was sorting through what all that means is that it wasn't necessarily a service, even though that can be included. It was an emphasis for the new season. And that's why it says outreach on the end of the building. Because it's in Isaiah 61 that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the prophecy of Jesus, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, and oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God wants you to trade in that ugly stuff, that he be glorified, and make new creations in Christ. You know that I believe that we live in the time period of the return of Christ, and I think that it's very possible the last call, this is certainly the last call of my ministry. I'm 59 years old in March, and so I'm sure this is the last call of my ministry, in time at least, and don't know if I'll be alive to see visibly the return of Christ. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened in my lifetime to actually see the return of Christ, but I believe we live in the time of the return of Christ, and this year, I want us to be at a level of unity and surrender like we've not been before, because I was on to something, what I said about the visitation, about the leukemia. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about you. It wasn't about our location. It was about that sickness brought that body of believers. I asked the Lord, Lord, why did you visit us to that level? That sickness, like the one man said, it's almost like everybody had it. And that sickness brought a level of unity where people forgot their differences, they forgot their squabbles, and out of love for us, which we're indebted to you for, they drew together and prayed. And when people are in unity together and a level of surrender, that was a time when people were coming forward and making stronger commitments, wondering if, wow, this has happened to our pastor, could this very same thing, I want to be devoted, plus they wanted to be part of prayer, and they wanted to be part of what was going on and what the Spirit was doing. It was a new level of unity and surrender, and when that happens, God moves, and I'm calling you on this last Sunday of the year to a new level of unity and surrender, and let's do this thing. It's time to dig in. It's time to dig in and move forward. And I don't know who God would stir, and I'm changing and hopefully getting wiser as I get older. I'm not going to go around handpick people. I'm going to see who God's stirring. I want the Holy Spirit to be involved in this and leading this. When you're a young guy, you think, oh, they'd be good at doing this, and they'd be doing good. As you get older, you realize you can really mess that up on your own choosing. It's rather, God, who would you stir? And sometimes God will stir people you never suspected that'll do marvelous things for him. This is the year to dig in. I want to begin one Sunday, probably every other month. Probably will call it a James service, but it's an emphasis. It's not just a service. So I want to begin. I was leaning toward the first Sunday in February. Give me some feedback this week. But I was figuring out when the holidays fall. And you don't want to have a service the last Sunday of the month, and then it hits Labor Day, and it hits Thanksgiving, and that doesn't work out real well. If we do our first outreach service in the first Sunday in February, it pretty much falls pretty well with the holidays, and maybe do one every other month. Years ago at Zion Chapel, starting where I started over 30 years ago, we did Singspirations and kind of a similar thing, encourage people to invite friends and relatives and unsaved people. And we did every month, and my, you were getting ready for it all the time. Maybe every other month, Pam and I have learned to experience that a lot of times people don't get burnt out, stick with it better. So I'm kind of leaning toward every other month, beginning the first Sunday in February. Sunday morning, it'll be a morning service where we have extra music, and we'll work in some testimonies, like Tara to come back. Kevin Smith has an incredible testimony. I look around here, I see Andre. Some of you haven't even heard some of the testimonies that exist here. Vince, there's people from the outside I have in mind we can draw, and it's gonna. And I'll probably pick up and share a little bit, but I won't give a. You know, you bring hurting non-Christians. I don't want to strangle them the first Sunday, and sometimes I'm pretty intense in 40 minutes, 45 occasionally. I was cheating a little on that. And some of you are laughing. That might be a little much. It's not going to be a lighthearted service at all. It's going to be a service that there's a lot of prayer for, and we're going to enlist people to, I don't know that we'll call it a prayer team. You give it a title, that might ruin it. But people that say, I will pray specifically for that service, and once every 8 weeks, have a special Sunday morning service and a meal afterwards for our guests, where we hang out with them and get them acquainted and get them comfortable and bring somebody that's hurting. Bring somebody that nobody wants. Look for the guy on the block and a gal on the block that's the undesirable. Look for the woman at the well. Look at the person that's got caught up in the mess and maybe has even been beat up by church. Bring that person. Bring that person that can't do anything back for you. God will bless you. That person that can't return the favor. It's just out of love for them, out of goodness of your heart. And got some people enlisted in kind of managing that. And Bob Hilbert's going to be a big key. And I learned working on the building back here, the building project, that Bob's got some management skills. I saw that. I'd give him, take care and oversee that, make sure that gets done. And he wasn't able always to lift with some of his health issues, but he did a good job of managing things. And I've asked him, I said, you can get that meal set up and get things organized and do some managing there. And the guys in the mentoring group, and I know Pam's been talking to different ladies that are aware, and this is something we want to do together, a level of unity and surrender backed by prayer, some testimonies, a brief salvation message, and use that. It's not about a service, it's about an emphasis. Bringing that elderly person, I had written down here, I'd like to see a couple van loads from Caring Hands of people that don't get to get out, that give them a day to make them special and make them your guest. And so anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. And so I told you I wouldn't keep you too long, so I need to wind down. But this morning, I would encourage you to take the bulletin home and these scriptures that I have. I would ask you to pray over that. Lord, what would you say to me? Go back and read the entire two chapters in that special book of Haggai. There's some neat stuff in there. And say, Lord, I believe you did give this to our pastor, and he says it's for all of us. What would you say to me from that? And let's dig in this year. It's time to build a strong, in a troubled economy, in a troubled culture, with things melting down around us. I believe God has called us to go find James, and I believe he's called us to build a strong ministry in this location, and I believe he's been in this journey. That doesn't mean that we turn the turn signal on just the right time every time. You know, we're all human. We're made out of the stuff we walk on. That doesn't mean that every single detail, you know, we make our mistakes. I think we'll be surprised when we get to heaven. Pastor Bishop used to say, when we get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not talking about the great white throne judgment. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ where rewards are given. He said, God's going to sit down with every one of us and say, now, Ronald, you didn't look at this particular thing right. Do you remember when I had this happen in your life? Oh, yeah. I was trying to get you to see that. You remember when I brought this into your life and you had this conversation? I was trying to get you to see this. I was trying to open your eyes, but you just were too stubborn. And the gracious Lord will correct us. And at the same time, it's a time of reward too at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not professing that on the journey every turn signal's been turned just right and everything's been done perfect, but I believe God has been in the journey, and I say that without apology. God chastised me one time for being apologetic. One time, because there were some folks that, you know, were a little disturbed by some of the decisions, I began to be apologetic. And I went on my prayer walk, and God smote me within. And he said, if I tell you to do something, don't you apologize. I said, Lord, I am sorry. And I started to cry. And I felt, he said, no, I understand that pressure made you do that. But don't you apologize if I tell you to do something. I was like Noah there for a couple of days, you know. Well, he told me to build this boat. It does sound a little crazy, and I realize that boats don't really float out here when it's not raining. When God tells you something, you don't do stuff like that. He's not going to give you the gems of leading and guidance, those precious gems of truth, if you're going to be apologetic about it. And maybe that's a little message in itself. Sometimes even in a family situation, you need to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to apologize for this decision. I'm not going to apologize for this decision. Why? Because it's the right thing. Okay? So please receive that. I don't think there's anybody here with bad feelings. In fact, I'm thrilled with who's here this morning. I had no idea sharing this who would be here today. But I want you to know, I don't, pardon my English, I ain't got anything against anybody. Honestly, I don't. Not one thing. But I know sometimes there's pruning, and sometimes it's painful, and sometimes there are some bumps in the road, but I believe God's been in the journey. And I believe he's given us clear direction of where we're to go. And I believe we're supposed to be here, and I believe that we're supposed to be offering what we heard in testimony today. And that's key. Do you agree our society needs salvaged? It's a mess. It's a mess all around us. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving me these verses in Haggai, and thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. And Lord, anything I've said today that maybe didn't need to be said or whatever, just melt that in people's minds. You can do that. And, but But Lord, take, I believe that we've given truth this morning. I ask that you would take that and root it within us. May each one here take this serious of taking the scripture home and saying, what's in this for me? Lord, what would you have me to do? I ask that. Be with us as we go from here. Thank you for your blessing and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.